You want to, we're going to turn to, we've got a few places to read. We're going to turn to 1 Kings, the second chapter, 28th verse. This is, we're going to break in here. This is the last moments of a great and a mighty man. We all know it's him by the name of Joab. And he was the son of Zeruiah, if I'm saying that right. And many a time, David, I know twice that it is recorded, and I think because twice it was recorded, this must have been something that David said many a time. He said, the sons of Zeruiah. And we find that Joab was a leader. If you read this out, you can read it. It's in 2 Samuel. We know it's mentioned in 1 Kings. It's mentioned some of them in Chronicles. And he was over David's army. But we find that when David turned over power to his son Solomon, that he told his son that he was to do certain things before he was able to come and as he took the kingship and at the death of David, that there were certain things that he would do. And one of those was to do unto Joab, as Joab had done to men more honorable than him. And so we read here in the 28th verse, it says, then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. And behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall upon him. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, thus saith the king, come forth. And he said, nay, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, thus saith Joab, and thus he answers me. And the king said unto him, do as he has said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David, not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner, the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. We see that, I don't know how old Joab was here, but we know that he was of the generation of David. We know that David died of at an old age. I see a picture when we was listening to this week. We've got the Bible on MP3 and we listen to it when we go to work and sometimes when we come home. And we was listening to this and I was thinking that of all that we had read about Joab, that Joab was a mighty warrior. We know that kings went out to battle in those days, that they didn't simply sit on the hillside somewhere, as a lot of English kings did, and watch the men down below fight for them. But we know the Bible says that David himself went to battle. So if David himself went to battle, we know that the head of his captains, no doubt, was in the thick of it a lot of times. We know that the Bible tells us exactly a lot, gives us great detail of some of the life of Joab. But I see a man at an altar. The Bible says that he grabbed the horns of an altar. This wasn't a man in his might, but this was a man in his old
age, that when he heard of what was taking place, that he went to the altar. Why was it? Because we know that Joab had experienced many a thing in his life. We know, as it had been said before, of Abishai, his brother. If you want to turn, the Bible says, I don't know if it's necessary, but if you can, and 2 Samuel, the 2nd chapter in the 18th verse, and it says, and there were three sons of Zeruiah, there Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And I thought to myself, here was Joab. One would say the biggest of them all. The one that had become the captain of all the king's men. The one that no doubt was placed in a position of honor. One would say, if there was ever a mighty man, surely it's Joab. But we find out, if you look at the end of 2 Samuel, it begins to talk about David. And that he had 33. He had 33 mighty men. There was three mighty men, then the 30. And these three were above. The 30, the Bible says, in Joab's name is mentioned three times. But yet he was not one of those men of honor. Not one of these mighty men. And it said, Asahel, the son, or rather, the brother of Joab. It said, Abishai, the brother. And then right down there at the end, I think it's like the third last to the end, it mentions Nehariah, I believe is his name. It said the armor bearer of Joab. And we were thinking about that this day and throughout the week. Where was Joab? Surely he should have been at the top. A man that was surrounded. He had two brothers. Then it said about Abner. But we know as well. So we got to search a little bit. It's right there in God's Word. We know that Joab was close to Absalom. Close in a certain way. We know that Absalom set his feet on fire. And Joab come to him. And he said, what is this? He said, I've asked you to come to me several times. And you would not. I need to talk to you. I need you to go before the king and plead my case because I killed my brother. The Bible said it was prophesied that the prophet came and he said the sword of the Lord would not depart from the house of David. And we see his children. But it didn't stop there. If you would, you could turn to Chronicles. We'll begin to understand. I know a lot of you know this, but there are some that these are just names in the Bible. There are some that just read these. They might read a chapter in 2 Samuel, and it might be 3 months before they go back to that same book. It would do us well a lot of times to read through it like it is a book, because it'll tell us things. Now this is unusual. You know the Bible said when it begins to tell, as it were, the genealogies in the Bible. It says so and so begat so and so, and he begat, and it never mentions the women. You listen, we didn't read from it, but if you want to, in 2 Samuel, it mentions 33 mighty men. Don't say nothing about the women. Now listen, women, there was mighty women in the Bible, but for the most part, the women were not mentioned. But we find in 1 Chronicles, the 2nd chapter, it begins to talk about the sons of Israel and the posterity of Judah and the children of Jesse. And we know that in the 13th verse, it says, and Jesse begat his firstborn, Eliab, and Benadad the second, and Shammah the third. And Nethahel, the fourth. And Redadiah, the fifth. Ozem, the sixth.
and David the seventh. Now listen, this is what's so unusual. And it says, whose sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail. And the sons of Zeruiah was Abishai and Joab and Asahel. Three. And Abigail bared Amasa. The father of Amasa was Jether of the Ishmaelite. So then, if you would, you can turn over and 2 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 17th chapter, and the 25th verse, and it says, and Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zeruiah, Joab's mother. These were all nephews of David. We have Amasa, who, when we know in the rebellion of Joab, the Bible says that when all the battle was done, that David told other men that he didn't want his son. He didn't want his son harmed at all. And what did Joab say? There was news that come to him that Absalom was caught. The Bible said that he cut his hair but once a year, and that his locks were so thick, and that he was riding upon, I believe it says, a white ass. And he rode in a thicket, and it was so thick. And that he caught his hair in it, and I guess the old horse or the ass drove off, rode off, and there he hung. And there was a man that come, and he began to tell Joab, and Joab said, well, did you kill him? And he said, no, for the king declared it was shedding. And we know that Joab went, and he went and pierced him through with the sword. Listen now, this weren't just a stranger. This wasn't the king of a rebellious a leader, the rebellious son, but it was a cousin. It was his mother's sister's boy, and he killed him. He had the Bible said that when David told Solomon, he said, I don't want you to do these things because Joab killed two men that were more honorable than himself. What he was doing as he was pronouncing the same judgment upon Joab as Joab had given this one that had rebelled. But I think we get a little bit of insight here when we read what we did about that he wasn't promoted to that position, but rather it was his cousin, as we read, because I think there might have been some jealousy there. After all, Absalom come to Joab to plead the case before David. We know that David listened to the counsel of Joab so much. But if we read the Bible, I begin to see a picture that Joab was not a faithful servant of the king. But what he was one that was placed in a position where he thought, oh well, this is beneficial for me. I'm going to help my uncle. We're going to become mighty men, and we're going to rule this country. And he made all of these decisions with Joab. First and foremost, he killed David's son, not because he had dishonored his father, but because it was a threat to his power. I believe he killed him as he looked at him. Maybe he said, with himself, if you'd have made me the chief of your captains, you wouldn't be hanging from a tree. We don't know what words were said, if any, but he slew him there, and he held a grudge. We know that Abishai, I believe it was, that the Bible said that his feet were as a rose feet, that he ran and he chased after the house of Saul, the man that was captain over them, and he ran, and because the man turned to don't follow me. Please don't follow me. Lest I slay thee. But he was determined to kill the enemies of the king on the battlefield. And he died there. But Joab had seen the heartache of what rebellion caused. Over in the first insurrection, when David was king, he lost his brother. We know that. And I often thought many a time, that's why he was so angry at Absalom. Because he'd seen that what revolt causes, the death and the carnage. But we see, I don't know how close they were as children, but the Bible speaks about when Joab, when he came, as it was to his cousin, and he said to him, the Bible, this was after they made peace, after Absalom was slain, that they were all coming together to unify the country, that Absalom come, or rather Joab, come to that, to his cousin, then the captain, over the king's son's army, and he come there to him, and the Bible said that Joab dropped the sword, and he picked it up as he reached up to kiss the beard of his cousin. You know, if you read it, it doesn't tell you the family ties there. All it says was is that the man, that he paid no attention to the sword that was in his hand. And I've often thought, how foolish of a man, because I knew all along that Joab was the nephew of David. But I didn't realize the family ties that were there. I'd read that verse many a time. But why his cousin paid no mind was because he was family, no doubt. And Joab slew him there. Pierced him with that sword, I believe the Bible says, under the fifth rib. Once again, he'd killed Absalom. I don't know if he'd done it out of revenge. I don't know if he'd done it out of fear that David's son had picked Abner to be the head of his armies. And now David's invited him back in. We understand why David opened up his arms to him. Now this was the child of his sister, just like Joab was. Once again, as Joab was disobedient and treacherous against the king, I think he was thinking of himself, don't you? Whether it was to get even or to protect his position. But he purposely, I believe, dropped that sword in his deception. And he got him by the beard, the Bible says, and kissed his cousin. And he ran him through the sword. You know, there's some that have read the life of Joab and found it to be somewhat admirable. And here was a man that was willing to do the dirty work for David. We know that he had done that in the case of Uriah. Do you remember that? When Bathsheba got pregnant, David knew who he could call to get the job done. And he called Joab. He sent the message. And he said, when the battle is sore, put Uriah in the heat of it all. And he did. He was such a valiant man that he would overcome. So that Joab said, now I want everybody to pull back. And I guess he told everybody but Uriah. Because Joab was the man to go to get things done. And he would stop at nothing. He'd use all manner of treachery. Find it. At the end of his life, he was there, holding on to the horns of the altar. We know there, and the end of
2 Samuel talked about Abishai, his brother. I said Abishai earlier was the one that was swift, but that was Asahel. He died at the by a Benjamite in pursuit of him on the battlefield. But Joab is not mentioned among the mighty. A man with a great title. Found it interesting of the ones that we found in this list of those that were the mighty men, as it were, David, that so many of them were dead. We know that Asahel was one that died in battle. And we know that at the very last one of those 30 men, there were 33 in all, and of the 30, it mentioned Uriah the Hittite. I said 33, there's 37 in all. A man. I wonder who compiled that list. It really doesn't say. We've heard of King Arthur and the knights at the round table. And I think if you read the accounts of that, of those things, of the legends and whatnot, that there was, I think they even say, I don't know, it's not important, but there was a certain number about around them that sit at the table. And I don't know that whoever wrote this down underneath, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if these 37 men was known throughout the country for their mighty awards, or if this was an account as it was in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, where we know that Paul began to list those that had great faith. These were not men that were contemporaries in their generation, but they spanned all generations. We know that in David's court, that there that all of these men lived and fought with David. So I don't know if this was known to all, or if this was God's way of pointing out these men, of the many mighty and great men, that if this was God's own doing to let these things be known to the generations to come. But I find it interesting that the very last one was Uriah, a one that was truly killed at the hands of the king. A one that the whole time, I've often wondered about him as he was there in the battle and he looked back and felt the betrayal and thought, boys, where you at? We've got some killing to do. And he died there. And his whole point on that battlefield was to bring glory to his king. An earthly king. A king that was... a king that had betrayed him. And I'm thankful that if we serve Jesus Christ, we place Him high above all things, that we never have to worry about Him betraying us. We never have to worry about Him doing harm to our family. And if we would ever find ourselves alone on the battlefield, it won't be because God has betrayed us. We live in a culture today. People want to put titles on individuals. Have you noticed that? You know, I don't understand why that is. But I can remember when I first announced my call to preach, that when people would hear, they would say to whoever told them, or they'd say to me, "So you want to be a pastor?" And I said, "Well, you know," I'd say, "Well, because they weren't one and the same to me," but I'd say, "Well, no, I never really gave that any thought." And you know, they looked surprised, like, "Well, what? I thought you just said that you was a preacher." And see, that's the way people are. They want to put a title on somebody. We know that that's the way we do as a child. I can remember thinking and looking at a man as a child in bent overalls, and I'd wonder if he was a farmer. And what did it matter?
didn't matter what his occupation was. But a lot of times that's what we want to do. We want to say, this one over here is this. We do it in church, don't we? Sometimes it's been accused of us to be this denomination or that denomination. And I don't know what's so important about titles, because it really doesn't matter, because when it's all said and done and you're laying in the casket, opinions won't matter. What you might think of me, though, I would hope that I could live a life that would bring honor and praise to my Lord. But you know, if you look in my face, and because I told you the truth and you were offended by it. You know, there are some people in this world, they asked me a question and I told them what the Bible said, and because of it they hate me. Because of it they have accused me of not being Christ-like. They've accused me of being mean-spirited. So if they were to attend my funeral, I'd say that in all honesty, they spoke their feelings. And if they were then as they are now, they'd say, well, there lies a man that I hate that ain't done any good. Then another might say, there's a man that told me the truth. And because of it, I repented of my evil ways. And I'm a Christian today. And that could bring honor and praise to the Lord. But listen, when you look in this face and you see me lying there, it won't matter what your words are to say, well, he's the king's head chief. He's the captain of all these. But what matters is when we stand before the Lord, we better be one of his children. And it don't matter what you say are here or in the life to come. What men might say about you in hell. God is the one who declares where we're going and where we'll spend eternity. That's why to hear. That's why there wants to be counted amongst the mighty men of God. The mighty men, as it were. It's alright if I fall dead like Joab's brother chasing after the enemy. I want to be swift in my feet. I want to run hard. Because God said that we are his, to be molded into what he would have us to be. And listen, God wants a servant that is willing to run. Oh, and it's certain death. You know, the Bible speaks about those that would bear a message and that would run and want a camel. We know where David, he was waiting to listen to the news of Absalom. And there was a messenger sent. And another man said, let me go. Joab, let me go. I'm a swifter runner. Let me go. And then he said, all right, whatever, you can go. But the one, I guess, in front, I got a head start. But he ran so hard to bear the news to the king. And then the Bible said he fell. And the other one went beyond him and continued to tell the account of what took place. But he yet not knew the full details. Listen, if God has given you the job to run, run until you fall in exhaustion. There's an angel here. He's got a few little cakes. He's got a flagon to refresh yourself with. Wine. Listen to me. God will make the way. He knows that what is coming ahead of us, and he'll prepare it for us if we had but just to let him. Oh no, the sword did not depart, did it? And from David's family, and it didn't just stay within his children, but we know that his nephews got to experience it as well. Joab stood there trembling with his hands on the horn of the altar. Do you know why? I believe he was seeing and how he had treated Abner. He was seeing that Absalom had come and rebelled. But David and now Joab had done the same. Did you realize that? It was Absalom's brother This time,
he did not go to Joab's cousin. He went to Joab. Joab seen the king there and thought the king ought to make, like, no doubt, a decision. And because he didn't, Joab once again thought, well, I'll make it for him. I'll do what I think's right and what's best for me. And we find him in the same position as he was, as Abner was in. That's why he was standing there at the horns of the altar. That's why he said, this is where I want to die. Because he knew. He knew that if the situation was in his control, that he would have cast the sentence that this man must die. The beauty of it all is that God forgives. The Bible says that when the trumpets was blown and David announced that Solomon was going to be the king, that they heard the trumpets that had gathered around David's eldest son, who was not Solomon, they said that he departed. That everybody departed, as it were, including Joab. And the Bible does not give no account that Joab ever said he was sorry for anything. We find when he killed Absalom, David's son, that David was mourning. There was a great victory there that day. And it said that the men left as if one that was defeated in battle. Joab didn't come into David, his uncle, and say, David, I'm sorry. David, that in the heat of battle, I thought I'd done what was best. Joab went before David, the king, his king, and he says, what are you doing? These men have fought valiantly for you today. And you stand a chance to lose the whole kingdom. You're closer to losing it now than... But Absalom was alive. Pretty much scolded the king. And because Joab was a wise man, David, I guess, got up and washed himself and he went and he set at the gate. But Joab weren't making those decisions on the behalf of David. It was all of his self-serving interest. Let's get some song to sing. There's people today. Did you know that? There's people today. Well, that are serving the President of the United States, and it's not because they like his policy. It's because they've been appointed to a position and what this might do for them. I read it one time how much you're paid to make speaking arrangements or in speaking engagements once you've been on the one of the chiefs of staff. The money that you can make long after your position there has been done away with. There's people that say that they're serving one, and it's really because they can better serve themselves in that position. We've seen that in foreign countries where some people have said to themselves, well, if I say that I'm a Christian, I'll be able to be supported by this organization and I'll live a whole lot better than if I'm not, financially. But what God wants is true men like Joab's brother. Might we be numbered among the mighty men of the king. I've often wondered about Uriah. Would he been so willing to go and fight for a king that had betrayed him, for a king that had slept with his wife? But you know, I think Uriah seen the bigger picture. He was more than loyal to an earthly king, but he was loyal to the God of Israel. As we've already said, we never have to worry about our Heavenly Father betraying us. We can go to the battle with great confidence. And if we fall in this fight, if we would perish unto the point of death, that when we awake, we'll be in a better place in the presence of the Lord, the one that we're fighting for.